word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for all that you are doing amongst us as a church. We thank you for the witness that you are through us and the way that you are using us. And God, we pray that it will continue, that as we continue to keep our eyes on you, that you will just continue to work through us, draw people to yourself, God, not to us, but to you. And may you just, be glorified in all that we do. And I pray now that the words that come out of my mouth will be your words and not my own. We just thank you for this time. In your name, amen. So this morning, as I was going through my sermon in the office, I suddenly had a thought. I was like, oh, I wonder where my Bible is from when I was in high school, because I feel like I wrote something in it that I just kind of had a sense I wanted to find. And I will share that bit later. But next to the bit that I will share later was a little note that I had written in my Bible from high school that says, I accepted a full-time call into ministry in the summer of 2000. So 18 years now. Since I've sensed God's call on my life. And I thought, how fitting today that we get to celebrate Devin's call on his life, and I found that little memento in my Bible. It pays to write things down on your journey with Christ and then keep them. I completely had forgotten that I had written that, but that's a nice thing for me to have. And so for moments like this, certificates are good because you can look back and you can go, that's when the church acknowledged my call, and it's exciting. And today we have Article 10 of the Articles of Faith in the Church of the Nazarene, which is our distinguishing doctrine in our church, the Article of Entire Sanctification. There's a reason I'm preaching this week. It's not an easy one, and yet it is the doctrine that distinguishes us, sets us apart from other Christian denominations. Not to say we're right, you're wrong, not to say we're better than you, because ultimately, if we all believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sins, that God created the heavens and the earth, that those are the foundational doctrines within the Christian church as a whole. But then as we said when we began this series, we are divided into smaller families that have some more distinguishing doctrines than those core beliefs. Those are irrefutable. You can't change them. They are what we believe in order to be Christians. Our doctrines are what make us Nazarene, what make us a part of the holiness denomination. Now, this doctrine is entitled Christian Holiness and Entire Sanctification. Holiness. We are a part of the holiness denominations. There are a few of us around. We are worldwide. This is what our distinguishing doctrine is. And in all of the holiness denominations, the Free Methodists, the Church of God Anderson, there's a few other smaller denominations. They will all have this similar doctrine within their beliefs, because this is what we feel sets us apart as one of our core doctrines. And it's long. So stay with me. We believe that sanctification is the work of God, which transforms believers into the likeness of Christ. It is wrought by God's grace through the Holy Spirit in initial sanctification or regeneration. That's our salvation with justification. Lots of big words. Entire sanctification and the continued perfecting work of the Holy Spirit culminating in glorification, i.e. our death. In glorification, we are fully conformed to the image of the Son. We believe that entire sanctification is that act of God subsequent to regeneration, salvation, by which believers are made free from original sin or depravity and brought into a state of entire devotion to God and the holy obedience of love made perfect. It is wrought by the baptism with or infilling of the Holy Spirit and comprehends in one experience the cleansing from the heart of the heart from sin and the abiding indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, empowering the believer for life and service. Entire sanctification is provided by the blood of Jesus, is wrought instantaneously by grace through faith, preceded by entire consecration, and to this work and state of grace, the Holy Spirit bears witness. This experience is also known by various terms representing its different phrases, such as Christian perfection, perfect love, heart purity, the baptism with or infilling of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the blessing, and Christian holiness. 10.1. We believe that there is a marked distinction between a pure heart and a mature character. The former is obtained in an instant, the result of entire sanctification, and the latter is the result of growth in grace. We believe that the grace of entire sanctification includes the divine impulse to grow in grace as a Christ-like disciple. However, this impulse must be consciously nurtured and careful attention given to the requisites and processes of spiritual development and improvement in Christ-likeness of character and personality. Without such purposeful endeavor, one's witness may be impaired and the grace itself frustrated and ultimately lost. Participating in the means of grace, especially the fellowship, disciplines, and sacraments of the church, believers grow in grace and in wholehearted love to God and to neighbor. Whew! That's a mouthful. That's what sets us apart within the Christian denominations as a holiness church. But what on earth does it mean? At ordinations in the Church of the Nazarene, from the very beginning till now, even in June, as we witnessed the ordination of one of our Sudanese brothers at our district assembly, we sing a song called Unto Holiness, Church of Our God. I didn't write all of it down, so I'm not even going to attempt all the words, but the chorus goes, Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Holiness unto the Lord as we're marching along. Sing it, shout it loud and long. Holiness unto the Lord now and forever. It's what sets us apart as a Church of the Nazarene. It's what sets us apart as believers is this life of Christ-likeness. We use the word entire sanctification, which is a big theological word that you kind of just go, what? And entire is a word that has been challenged because entire kind of signifies you're finished, you're complete. It's entire. But that's not what this doctrine talks about. And so we're going to break it apart this morning. And I struggled, to be honest, to find one scripture passage to go with. Because when you read your Bible, from beginning to end, it talks of this doctrine of sanctification. It is so hard to pick a passage to deal with this entire concept of what we believe in the Church of the Nazarene, what we believe as believers in Christ. But it goes back to Leviticus 19:2. When God calls his people to be holy because I am holy. We know that God is a holy God. We've looked at that. We know that in salvation we are his people. We've looked at that. And so now we're looking at what happens next. What happens after our salvation? Are we good to go for the rest of life and we can carry on as we were before? Well, if you've been here the last 2 years, and probably before then as well, I hope that you've heard that that is not the end all of our life with Christ, salvation. I hope that our sermons have reflected that there is much more to this life than saying yes to Jesus and then just carrying on as you used to carry on. And it's that carrying on that is this doctrine, this journey, this be holy because I am holy. And that's God talking to his people, and it's him talking to us today. Be holy because I am holy. And so we're going to do a little bit of jumping around in scripture today because there is just too much in here for a 30-minute sermon. Christian holiness and entire sanctification. Christ-likeness is the easier way to say that. Sanctification is the total submission to God, which allows God's transforming work in our lives as we become mature children of God, holy and dearly loved. We are called to be a holy people. 1 Peter 2:9, and I was going to have Maddie come up. This was their scripture verse at family camp, is 1 Peter 2:9, and they did it great with a whole bunch of actions and stuff like that on the children's service. But 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Their version said a peculiar people, which is what holiness does to us. We become a peculiar people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession, As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is what sanctification is about. By grace, we are called to be a holy people, called out of the darkness, called out of the world, to show the world what life as God's chosen people is meant to be. That is a huge undertaking. That is so much more than saying, Jesus, I believe in you, now leave me to it. That is, Jesus, I believe in you, now transform me. John Wesley, who's the founder of our movement of churches, our stream of denominations, although Anglican and never fell from his Anglican roots, he began the Methodist movement in the UK, which was a call for people to live like Christ, to form together, to keep each other accountable, to challenge each other when we see our brother or sister walking not in line with Christ. Accountability is huge. Johnny just shared within the church in the Nazarene, we have a huge line of accountability. And our general superintendent, who's kind of the guy at the top, there's six of them, guy and girl at the top, at family camp, reminded us that even they are accountable. Every level within our church is accountable. And that means that even us to each other are accountable within our walk with Christ to be who we are called to be, to journey together, so that we can say to our brother when they're doing something that is just so not in line with Christ, you know, maybe you should check yourself with that. Not to condemn. Never to condemn. But to challenge in love. To say, I love you too much to see you falling. I love you too much to know that when you said yes to Jesus and you want to live your life for him, that what you're doing right now isn't in line with what we read in Scripture. Not challenge, but love. Not condemn, but love and challenge. But John Wesley says this, every Christian can experience an entire renewal in the love and image of God because we were created to be in the image of God. That was severed, but with Christ's death on the cross, it was restored. And John Wesley and the Church of the Nazarene, we believe that every individual can experience that renewal, that perfect love that comes from the perfect Father, that just that indwelling of his Spirit within us. But it takes total surrender and submission. The sanctifying Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives within us, and it motivates us to grow in spiritual grace and our spiritual growth. But we have a responsibility to that, and that is to nourish the impulse. I loved the way that it was worded there. It's consciously nurtured, that divine impulse within us. We have to consciously say, today, I'm going to live for Christ. Today, I'm going to live for Christ. Today, I'm going to live for Christ. It's not saying it in 2000 when I said yes to serving in ministry, in full-time ministry, to say in 2000 I said yes to Jesus and I never have to say it again. 18 years later, I'm still every day having to say, today, I am going to live for Christ. Sanctification is that process of being more fully who God created us to be. I love the way that that was worded. That was by Sherry Walker, who's a pastor in the States. Salvation, we have our sins forgiven. Sanctification, we have freedom from sin. This is a difficult doctrine because when we put the word entire in front of it, it makes us seem, in our English vocabulary, when I have something that is entire, I have something that isn't complete. So if entire sanctification, we believe that we are free from sin, it can be translated as, I will never sin again in my entire life because I am complete. Now I have most of my life of being a believer, where I can tell you that that is not the case. But I can also say that I have been entirely sanctified. Because entire has a different terminology to it than what, unfortunately, our English language has put to it. God has more for us than just salvation. He has a life in freedom that he wants all of his children to have, a freedom from sin. Because we are not created to sin. That's a result of the fall. We are created to be free in Christ. And if we are like Christ, Christ did not sin. He did not have that in his life. And as we read Paul's letters in the New Testament, there's just so much in it. And it's not just a long list of rules to follow. I mean, if you go back into 1 Peter and that verse in 2:9, but this whole thing. So Paul says, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of satisfying your own desires. You didn't know any better then. He's talking about before we were saved. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. Holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. Live as God's children. Holiness is more than a list of don'ts. Unfortunately, within our church, it's always been don't drink, don't smoke, don't grow with girls who do. There's this whole long list of don't do this, 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 don't do this. There's elements to that. But it's more about what we do. And within the Church of the Nazarene, holiness is a rich, relational identity of who we are, more than a checklist. Thomas J. Ord put it this way, it is a practical, applicable, possible, lived experience. That is holiness. Living for God, putting away how we used to live before we knew the grace and salvation of Jesus, putting that away. That old life, that we were inclined to do what was not of God, because sin is anything that is not of God. And in our old way, before we knew Jesus, we were living a sinful life. Now we know Christ. We're asking him to come in and transform our lives, which means we're going to be inclined more to the ways of God than the ways of sin. Salvation is our welcome into this life of forgiveness. The journey begins. Sanctification is that freedom from the sinful nature. You are complete. You have been made like Christ. The journey continues. Entire sanctification is that point when we are truly dead to ourselves and alive to Christ. When Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And yet in Philippians 4:13, he says, not that I claim to have obtained all this or have been made complete, but I press on to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has called me heavenwards. That's sanctification. That moment when we say, God, less of me and more of you. I have been crucified with Christ. I am complete. I am entirely sanctified, but not that I have already obtained it all. I have been set free from sin. The nature within me is Christ living in me. I am inclined to righteousness as opposed to sinfulness. But I'm not going to be perfect, because that doesn't come until my glorification. When we reach perfection in Christ, when we enter glory. But in this life, I can be entirely sanctified. In this life, I can die to me and live for Christ. That's what it is. I read a beautiful description of it that fits so beautifully following Dorothy's funeral a couple weeks ago. In the images that Harold's kids had put together of Dorothy's life. The last image was a picture of Harold and Dorothy in a loving kiss. And there was just a beauty in that. After all those years of marriage, over 60 years of marriage, at the end, just this beautiful picture of love and of what marriage is. And I looked at that, and as I read this description of sanctification, of this perfection, that we get our English words just so confused, and it does us a disservice, unfortunately, was that image of Dorothy and Harold any different than their wedding day 60-some-odd years before? When they got married, Johnny and I are coming up to 10 years next year, when we got married, on that day, we were perfect. We were complete. Because for us, that one day was everything we knew marriage to be. And we had a perfect marriage. Does that mean now, 9.5 years later, or 60 some odd years later, that their marriage isn't perfect? No, it's perfect for then. It's perfect for now. Does it mean that we were less perfect the day we got married? No. But growth happens. That marriage was complete. We can say we're entirely sanctified and still have a journey to go, because at that moment, we are complete. And then for this moment, we are complete. And for that moment, we are complete. And it's this journey that just carries on. It doesn't mean that the past was not real. It doesn't mean that it wasn't finished then. It doesn't mean that you didn't quite get it all. For that point in time, it was all. And for this point in time, it is all. Which is why each and every day we have to say, I have been crucified with Christ. God, less of me and more of you. Fill me, consume me, transform me, completely take over me. Where 18 years ago I could say yes to ministry and still 18 years later be saying yes to ministry, because life happens. But when we are urged, that conscious nurturing of the divine impulse within us to live a life for Christ each and every day, we are made more like him. More and more like him. Paul's urgency in his letters is just that. To live as God's holy people, called out to live as God's children. Why do we put the word entire on it? It's because 1 Thessalonians, Paul uses that word. His prayer for the Thessalonians is that God would sanctify them wholly, that God would sanctify them entirely. But entire sanctification doesn't mean that you're never going to mess up again. But at that moment, it is a complete work of God within you. A freedom from sin. A moment from which you go forward inclined more to righteousness than to sinfulness. A moment from which you allow God to dwell in you, for Christ to transform you, for the Holy Spirit to renew you. Sanctification is the act of being made holy. Holy, be holy because I am holy. It is not because of my strength that I am sanctified. It is not because of your power that you are sanctified, but it is the sanctifying Spirit of God within us who creates us as his holy people. We must grow in our relationship with God. We can't just say, oh, I'm there. I'm good. There is growth. It's a relationship. It develops. It has its bumps along the road. 9.5 years, it's not all been a bed of roses for Johnny and I. Tent trailer probably claws the closest moment to separation. But, you know, there's just this journey, and it's a beautiful journey, and that's what God wants with each of us. He has welcomed us into his family because of the blood of Jesus on the cross. To say, I forgive you. You are worthy to come into my presence because I forgive you. But I want so much more for you than that. I want you to have the life you were meant to have. I want you to be holy because I am holy. So what do we do when we mess up? We humble ourselves. We come back and we say, God, I am so sorry. We confess. And you know what? He's going to forgive us. And he's going to say, my child, I love you. Be holy, for I am holy. I read this, and I can't remember where I read it. I had written it down a few years ago, and unfortunately, I didn't attribute it to anybody. Maybe it was me. Probably not. But sanctified people don't just do the will of God. They want to do the will of God. And there's a difference in that. When we are so in love with Christ, when we have died to ourselves to live for him, we desire nothing more than to do his will. And you know, when you are desiring nothing more than to do the will of God, chances are you're going to be sinning less because you're focusing so much on Christ. Doesn't mean it won't happen. It probably will. But you are focusing so much on Christ that your entire being becomes what Christ wants. Every way you go about things, the way you deal with your kids, the way you deal with your neighbors, the way you deal with your work colleagues, the way you deal with yourself, becomes so consumed with Christ that everything about you is just oozing Christ to those around you. The decisions you make are going to be based on what he wants you to do because you're so consumed in the word that his ways become your ways. His thoughts become your thoughts. But we have to be consumed with him. It's when we allow him to totally transform us in that. Romans 6 says this. So you also should consider yourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. You see, this entire sanctification, this freedom from sins, is not unbiblical. It's here. And that's where it's so hard to have a scripture passage. And that's why the scripture in your reading plan this week is ridiculously long, because it's so much. You should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin. Sin no longer holds a victory over you when we have Christ in our lives. You are stronger because you have the Son of God. But alive to God through Christ Jesus, do not let sin control the way you live. And do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. That is entire sanctification. The words of Paul in Romans. Give yourselves completely, not a little bit, but completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under freedom of God's grace. Live in that freedom. That's entire sanctification. That's Christian holiness. That's Christ-likeness, living in the freedom that we have because Christ has paid the penalty to give us that freedom. And all he asks is total surrender. And let me tell you, a life in total surrender to God is so much better than a life lived as the world would tell us it should be lived. Don't let sin reign in your life. More of you, God, and less of me means more likely to choose God's way than sin. And if we mess up, when we mess up, we come back and we say, God, I confess. Cleanse me again. More and more of you, God. Help me the next time I face this situation to choose differently. Help me to stay stronger so that I don't go down that path because, God, my desire is to serve you and not myself. Freedom doesn't come through us, but through Christ. Entire sanctification isn't the moment of the end, but it's the goal. It's the beginning. John Wesley also said this, Justification, our salvation, is like being welcomed onto God's porch. I love those houses that have the huge wraparound porches. You know, those nice big farmhouses that probably happen here in Canada too, but you kind of see in pictures of like the Midwest in the States. Welcome to the family. Welcome onto the porch. That's what our salvation is. Our entire sanctification is the door, because inside that house is the full fellowship of God. And I thought, man, John Wesley, that is a lovely picture. God just doesn't want us to come to the porch. He wants us in the house. And entire sanctification is walking through that door to saying, God, less of me and more of you. The reason I was looking at my Bible this morning is because I was pretty convinced that I wrote down a moment in my life when I can say that I was entirely sanctified. And so I was like, I'm going to find it. And so I looked in my Bible. That's when I found that little gem of 2000. But right next to it was my declaration to myself, my reminder to myself, that on July 30th, 1998, at Mid-High Camp at Camp Pine Rock in Arizona, I was entirely sanctified. I didn't use entirely. I just used sanctified. But my declaration was, I died to myself in order to live for Christ. And 2 years later at camp, I accepted a call to ministry. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul's declaration, which I imagine him saying daily, can be ours too. We can have that freedom. Why would we pass it by? Why would we just stay on the porch when we're welcome in for the feast? Why would we just limit ourselves to God's goodness and his glory and his freedom? Are we scared? Does the word entire hang us up that we have to be perfect? Let that word go. Within the Church of the Nazarene, it's not being used as much because the concept is still there. The truth is still there. The doctrine remains the same. But the language, come through the door. That week at camp, there was a song that we sang quite often. And on that night, I wrote that underneath this. And I'd like us to just sing it a cappella. I don't know why I'm doing so many a cappella singings, because I am not a singer. But that's what we feel inclined to, and so we're going to go with the Spirit and just go with it. The evidence of being sanctified, of Christian holiness, is in our lives being witnessed by those around us. More and more Christ-likeness. More and more of the image in God becoming increasingly visible in our lives. We can't just think it. People should witness it. Because our walk with Christ isn't an individual in a box journey. It's for everybody. Because God has called each and every one of us to live as holy people, so that those who don't know him can know him. And if we live our lives in a little box, don't tell anybody we come to church. Don't tell anybody about Jesus. Don't ask if they can pray, be prayed for. How are others going to know that same love, experience the same salvation, and ultimately the same freedom that we have in Christ? But we have to say more than just yes to Jesus. We have to cry out like Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. Less of me, God, and more of you. And that song that I wrote down in 1998, which was oldie then, and so it's a really oldie now, was Purify My Heart. Because that's what it is. Allowing the Spirit of God to wipe you out and fill you beyond measure with his fullness, with his goodness, with his Spirit, so that we can stand, we can claim sanctification, holiness, as God's chosen people. Do we know that song? Enough of us know it. I'm going to turn off my mic and sing it, because it's a bit loud. That night at camp, the speaker, who was called James Taylor, I wrote that down, but it wasn't the singer, described sanctification as this, and I have held on to that till this day, and so I'm pleased I wrote it down because I actually have held on to it correctly. But he said that when you're saved, you get all of God. But when you're sanctified, God gets all of you. But we have to choose that. God doesn't force it out of us. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Let's sing that again. And the altars are open. And if you want to come today and say yes to Jesus, maybe it's for that salvation. Maybe it's for that forgiveness. But if you want to come say, Jesus, I am yours. Don't put it off. Don't think you don't know enough now, because let me tell you, you're never going to know enough. You're never going to be worthy enough. You're never going to be good enough. But today could be the day when you set yourself apart to say, less of me and more of you. And then you can stand up with Paul and say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Make today that day. Alone when we finish.